Does anyone here have a good strategy to deal with your mail? Your mail. You know, you get it from the mailbox, you come in, and you do what with it? You throw it onto something, maybe? It ends up in maybe a pile? Jeremy, if you could put that slide up. Does it look maybe something like that? A mountain of mail on a table? That is not my apartment, by the way. It's not my mail. I would never get a glass table. I wouldn't. You end up getting all this mail. You have ad circulars. You get coupons like the value packs in there. Of course, you have bills. Hopefully, they don't end up under that pile like that. You get Christmas cards, especially at this time of year, and holiday cards of other kinds. And you get invitations to parties, Christmas parties, holiday parties, that kind of a thing. And hopefully those don't end up underneath that pile either, because they require an RSVP. The host needs to know if you're going to be coming so they know to prepare for you, whether or not you're going to take up some space, food, that kind of a thing. They're glad that you can come, but they need to know ahead of time if that's going to happen. And so we're going to talk today a little bit about an RSVP. Before we do, let me go to prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you so much for who you are and what it is that you're doing in our lives. I thank you for this opportunity to look at your word, to have a deeper understanding of who you are. I pray that the words that I would speak today would not be mine, but rather they would be yours. Anything that I would say that comes from me would be quickly forgotten. But those things that come from you, Lord, will be quickened into our hearts and into our minds, finding fertile soil in both places. That as we leave this place today, we leave changed, looking more like your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some invitations to these parties that we get, in all honesty, we're not really excited to get. Am I right? You get a party invitation to someone who you don't really know that well, or maybe it's your spouse's work. You don't really know anyone there, so you're not sure what you're going to do, and you're not really excited about it. Or maybe it's your own work, and you're not really with people that you want to hang out with in that way. But then there's other parties that you get an invitation to that you are excited to get. Maybe it is your work. Maybe you do like hanging out with those people, or it's family members that you enjoy being with. I have an experience when I was growing up. There was a family, a husband and wife. They never had their own children, but they had been with my family since I was born. In fact, it was to them I took my first steps instead of my parents. So I feel something of a kinship with this particular family. And they would have a Christmas party every year. And I always enjoyed it because they like to laugh. And I do too, you know, in case you weren't sure of that. But I like to laugh, and I knew that if I went to this party, it didn't matter what room I was in, if I was getting a drink in the kitchen or food from the dining room or just sitting in the living room, someone was laughing somewhere. And of course, you could always tell when one person's laughing because they have such a distinctive laugh. And you're like, oh, that must have been a funny one, right? We all know that, and I always enjoyed that. As I got older, and I was able to drive, and I was working when I was in high school, what I would frequently do is around Thanksgiving time, I would call them myself and say, hey, when are you having that party? Because I needed to know so that I could ask off from work, right? So I knew I had time, maybe ask off the next day. They lived in North Jersey, so it would be kind of a ride, and sometimes we would stay the night there, or sometimes we'd get home very late. And I didn't really want to go to work the next day. I could do that as a student. And so we respond to these invitations in certain ways, like I just mentioned, planning ahead. Well, there's a lot of ways that we do that as well. I mean, think about it, ladies. When you get an invitation to a more of a formalized party, what do you like to do? Get a dress. That's exactly right, right? And you're walking along with your dress in hand, you walk by a store, you're like, ooh, now those shoes are really cute. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. You go in and the clerk says, I've got the perfect belt. Oh my goodness, the belt. You accessorize, you get the shoes, you have to get your hair done, you have to get your nails done. You're preparing yourself to go to a party that you're expecting to have a good time at. And to be fair, guys have a similar situation, though you might not realize it. If I were to say to you, gentlemen, think of your favorite football team, and they happen to make it to the Super Bowl. Some of you might have a harder time picturing that than others. But somebody comes to you and says, hey, I've got a ticket to the Super Bowl and a luxury box seat. Do you want to go? What do? Oh my God, yes! You have no idea how much I want to see them. In a luxury box suite where we have our own clean bathrooms. Lots of food. What do men do? Well, we go out and we get our t-shirts, we get our jerseys with the names on the back, we get our hats, and we accessorize as well. I got this when the Eagles made the Super Bowl. String of beads. And a nice boa-like thing. Because I wanted to play it up. I wanted to have fun at the Super Bowl party that I was going to. Or maybe use a foam finger. That kind of a thing. We're number one. You get yourself prepared to enjoy the party that you're expecting to go to, that you've responded that you're going to. We're invited to a Christmas party by God to celebrate a birth. But understand that we're doing more than simply celebrating a birth. We're celebrating the purpose of the birth. And what is the purpose of the birth? It's salvation. Salvation to restore a broken relationship between us and our Creator, us and our God. That is what we are celebrating. That's what we are being invited to. Celebrate the purpose of the birth. And people who don't really know Christ sometimes, they understand that there's an invitation, and they do try to prepare themselves as well. But what ends up happening is they look back over the course of their lives and they say, well, you know, I've done so much wrong that I don't think God's really able or wants to save me or wants me to be at his party. And they don't understand that that's not how it works. They'd say, well, I have to get myself ready, which is true of us as even when we're believers, we want to get ourselves ready to go to those parties, right? They want to get ready. They want to maybe do some good things to outweigh some of the bad things. Folks, let me ask you this question. When will that time come? When will you be ready? You'll always look at your life and say, well, I'm not ready yet. Because there won't come a time. You'll look at your life and say, I'm just not ready. And it's not God's way. We're looking, Ryan had introduced us to Isaiah 55, and we're looking at verses 6 through 9 today. But we're going to look at it kind of backwards. So I'm going to look at the screen. Actually, Jeremy, you can take that off. You don't have to leave that up there. I'm kidding. I'm not going to look at the screen. But we're going to look at verses 8 and 9 from the Isaiah passage first, and then we're going to sort of work our way backwards as we look at this concept of the RSVP. Verses 8 and 9 say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When we look at the idea of having to prepare ourselves, you have to understand, you cannot impose your sense of human logic on God. If you think that you have to get yourself right before you can go to God, you don't understand God. Because he already knows the condition of who you are, the condition of your heart. You can't trick him. You can't make him think differently than what he already knows that's true about you. You can fool yourself, but you can't fool God. So there's no point in trying to hide it. Go to him. It might not seem to make sense that I can go to this Creator, my God, looking like I do. But he doesn't care what you look like. He still wants you. It's not human logic. And so how ultimately do we gain entry into God's party? It's by believing in the gospel. The transaction of what Christ did on the cross and through the grave for us. The debt was paid. Our debt, the sin and shame and suffering of our lives, was paid on the cross by Jesus, where we belonged. And then he was buried in the tomb that we belonged in. But thanks be to God, he was raised from the grave, leaving behind their sin, shame, and suffering to the grave, to be raised and seated at the right hand of God the Father in purity and in righteousness. Believing in that transaction as our substitute. That is the gospel. That is how we gain entrance into God's party in heaven. And so what does ultimately does believing in that transaction actually entail? Well, we see that in verse 7. It says this: "Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." Now, actually, a better translation is to abundantly pardon. Abundantly. When you think that you have so much sin in your life that God can't overcome that, you're wrong. He can abundantly pardon. Because you look to the person to your left, look to the person to your right, he can pardon their sin as well. There isn't so much sin in your life that he can't overcome it because he's already tapped out of someone else. Of course not. He can abundantly pardon, and he wants to abundantly pardon. And we see two elements in this passage, verse 7, that require, or is the way in which we go to God, and it's through repentance. Through repentance, the two elements of repentance are turning from a path of destruction, turning from the path where we are denying God. Yes, we have our daily sins and we recognize those, but ultimately, when we're not walking in Christ, when we don't believe in that transaction, we are in denial of God. And the first part of that repentance is to turn from that path. The second part is to turn back to God, to recognize the free gift that he has given us. For what purpose? To restore our relationship with him. Turning from the path of denial back to God to restore that relationship to him. Remember last week, Ryan was talking about the wow moments where you pull the minivan over and go, wow. I don't drive a minivan, but I do drive a station wagon. And as I was thinking about this concept, I had to not pull my station wagon over, of course, it's proverbial. I had to pull over and say, wow, God. Because when I thought about this, I thought, if there's any doubt as to whether or not God wants a relationship with us, and there's people out there that have that doubt, maybe you do, maybe you're just not quite sure, or there's a little bit of doubt, let me ask you this question. Why? Why would God, the creator of the universe, come to earth through the vehicle of birth? Why would he come to us, Emmanuel, God with us, why would he come to us through the vehicle of birth? Birth is painful for mother and child, and quite a shock, especially to the child. It's messy, not just in terms of the birth process, but where he was, a stable with animals. And he came completely reliant on Mary and Joseph. He came completely reliant on his creation, on humanity. He could do nothing for himself in that moment. He couldn't protect himself. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't clothe himself. He couldn't change himself. He couldn't even hold up his own head. This is the God who created us. Why would he come in this way? To me, that doesn't leave any doubt as to his desire to have a relationship with us. Because it didn't just stop there. He lived for 33 years alongside of us, showing us, teaching us, crying with us, I'm sure laughing with us, understanding us, so that we might have the opportunity to understand him and his purpose. To me, this is pretty good proof that he had a desire to have a relationship with us, a relationship that sadly was broken by us. Verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near." Now is the time. He is drawn near to us because he came to us. You might think, well, that was 2,000 years ago or thereabouts. Well, that's not the point. Not chronologically. He came. Emmanuel. God with us. We have the ability to go to Him, to go to God because of our faith in that transaction, in that substitution. Draw near to Him and in this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says this. This is Paul. He's writing to the Corinthians and he quotes Jesus Himself. For He says, in the time of My favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. Paul goes on to say, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. When are you going to be ready? There is no time when you're going to be ready. Make use of that time now. Even for those of us who have believed in Christ at some point where we accepted that transaction, our daily living still requires us to go back to Him constantly. So when we RSVP, I think there's three aspects that we need to be aware of. Jeremy, you can go ahead and put that up. Our RSVP, number one, it needs to be timely. It needs to be timely. Make use of this opportunity. Revelation 3:20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with Me. He's knocking. Again, to those of us who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, we have let Him in, but He's knocking on the table now because He wants us to know Him more intimately and deeper. He's going to continue to knock wherever He is in your house when you let Him in. The second thing our RSVP needs to be based upon repentance. Based upon repentance. Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You see there the two issues of repentance. Repent. Stop going in the direction of denial and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, not counted against you on the day of judgment. And even still, for those of us who have believed, it's a daily thing that we have to continue to do, is to repent each time. The final element of this, our RSVP needs to recognize God's grace in sending the invitation at all. That God would send us an invitation at all, in spite of the fact that we're completely undeserving of such an invitation. There's nothing that we could ever do or say or think that would cause God to want to send us an invitation. He did that of His own free will. He's provided that for us. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this, not from yourself, is the gift of God. He wants a relationship with us. John 14:2 says this. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. You remember the invitation that you got, that you have to send back an RSVP. Why? So that the host knows to prepare for you. Jesus is prepared a place for those who respond, who send back the RSVP in the affirmative. Yes, Lord, I want to come to your party. I believe in the substitution that you did for me, taking my sin, my shame, and my suffering, and dying on the cross, and being raised from the grave in purity. You did that for me. You paid my debt, though you didn't owe it. And He is preparing a place for you. To those who don't really know what that means, to the non-believer, to someone who hasn't accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, where they've accepted that transaction, that paid off debt. The RSVP is obvious that it's believing in the gospel, believing in that transaction. We're going to be taking communion here shortly. And if there's anyone here who is sort of falls into that grouping where you don't know Christ personally, where you haven't accepted that, the elements really don't have a great sense of meaning for you. And it's okay to let them pass by. I know a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people who've taken them anyway, feeling a sense of duty or obligation. Or they're afraid of what other people around them might think. Oh, wait, he didn't take the elements. Don't worry about it. If someone else is worrying about whether or not you're taking the elements, they got their own issues to deal with, let it pass by. It's okay. It's not an obligation for you. To the believer, what does the RSVP really mean? Because we've already said yes to Christ's death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. Well, it means not allowing our faith to go on autopilot. Not allowing our faith to go on autopilot where we walk through our day. Okay, I have to pray. All right, I want to go to church. I volunteer at VBS. That's putting your faith on autopilot. Rather, our RSVP is to say, I want to know you more, Lord. I want to know you intimately. I want to know you deeper. You need to grow in your know of God. That's K-N-O-W. Know him deeper. That's how you RSVP, preparing yourself for his party. Knowing him so that you can have a really good time at his party. And I have a challenge for you. I have a challenge for those of you who are believers who need to grow in your know of God. Next series that we'll be doing is John, chapters 7 and 8, from January through Easter. Here's my challenge to help you grow in your know. Every day between now and at least the start of the series, pick a verse in John 7 or 8. Read it. Maybe it's a few verses. Meditate on it. Pray about it. Ask God to reveal something to you about him, about you, or about your relationship with him, that you might grow in your know of God. Every day, weekends included. That's the challenge, to help you prepare for the party at God's.